This evening, I'd like to teach you to read labels, but with a very specific application. And it just so happened that Dan touched upon the concept of amorality. Did not know he was going to. Apparently the Lord did. And so tonight I would like to just give you the thinking in a certain direction before we get to the labeling. Think about the trend of amoral ecclesiology. Now, ecclesiology is the doctrine of the church. Amoral ecclesiology. Does the brand and or its ingredients matter? When we think about amorality, we apply that concept somehow in either a defense of or a expose of the translation issue, the Bible translation issue. Because after all, if the scriptures are amoral, the English Bible amoral, then it really doesn't make any difference because they're all good enough. We, again, as Dan pointed out, sometimes we'll apply that subject to music. And I think he very eloquently made the case for why that can't be. Then there's amoral worship. One size fits all, as long as there's something for everybody fitting in. But then apply that same concept to pharmaceuticals or food. Once it was common to marginalize Jehovah the Creator by placing him on a par with other notables, other religious icons. Of course, the idea was, well, we all believe in the same God, we just call him by different names. So does it really matter where you attend church? Does it really matter if you are a member of that church, assuming that you may be inclined to do so, inasmuch as they are oftentimes just a mixed bag of everything, something for everybody? Okay? I want you to take your Bible just for a few moments. I want to give you an outline that many of you here should know. Some of you may be at least remotely familiar with it. And the only reason I will do this is because it presents a learnable label. It gives you and I an opportunity to examine ingredients to see whether that's something that's for us anywhere you go. Let me first of all take you to 2 Timothy 3:16 and give you a portion of that reference. 2 Timothy 3:16. Great verse, classical verse concerning the authority of God's Word. There it says in that reference, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, among other things that are there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if that be the case, and it is, then what we have there is at least the seed teaching of biblical authority. Biblical authority. Any authority that a parent may have, a teacher, a pastor, or a church to execute its responsibilities, the only authority that they have is God's Word. Whenever you override God's Word, you go too far. And so we want to establish for our sake, inasmuch as this is a Baptist church, you have a B there, biblical authority. Somebody says, well, why are you a Baptist? Well, I know that if I just pony up the outline and be able to cite to you, which I'm going to give you, proof texts, understand that they have a larger spread throughout Scripture and the history of the church going back to apostolic times to the present day has a richness in complexity. I'm not one of those who claim apostolic succession to this present day. I'm not a Baptist bride, as they say. I do take note that you look at history, you learn from history, and while there were many people who held to one or two or three of these distinctive ingredients throughout history, it may be said with some degree of great accuracy that the only people, historically so, that it can be said who held on to each of these and maintained it were Baptists. Now, that's not to say that there was not the Spirit of God working in and through other assemblies not called Baptists. Only a fool would go there. Okay, so we have the foundation, biblical authority, all Scripture as is given by inspiration of God. Then I want you to see another reference. And in this particular reference is essentially autonomy. You can find it in one of several places, but for our purposes tonight, to expedite, is in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There you will find the local church dealing with a moral problem. One of the things that the Corinthian church had a problem with was what was moral, what was not. Okay? They tended to apply amoral principles to immoral living by tolerating it. So you come to the fifth chapter, and it says there it's commonly reported that there's fornication among you. And he describes this fornication not so much as is named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And then he says in verse 2, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. If you follow this whole chapter down, you get to the place where Paul instructs the church family acting independently in a self-governing manner to exercise discipline upon a member of their church. Can I stress that for another point? Exercise discipline upon a member of their church. The local church has no authority to exercise discipline of any kind to people who are not members of the local church. And so let me take it down a little bit, parse it a little bit further. Every Christian is subject or should be subject to the discipline of a local church. Unless, of course, you believe in amoral ecclesiology. Where you say, it just doesn't matter. Now, not only subject to the discipline, but receiving the benefits of oversight from those who would protect you spiritually. The shepherd and his advisors, the deacons, have a role in that. So you have Baptist, B, and then you have A, autonomy. The autonomy of the local church. Self-governing. Independent. Self-supporting. Dependent on no outside source for revenue. Asking no outside source for revenue. Okay, do you catch that? Asking no outside source for revenue. All right, we at Grace Baptist Church do not appeal to our sister churches in our fellowship for money to float the budget here. Nor would they ask anyway, but you just don't do that. So you have biblical authority, you have the autonomy of the local church, and then you have something else. The P. The priesthood of the believer. Believe it or not, as a child of God, you are a priest of God. And you have a reference there in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If you'll look at that reference, please. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5 and 6 from Jesus Christ. Who is the faithful witness? First begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Now, when we talk about the priesthood of the believer, we separate ourselves from the largest body of Christendom in the world who would have a specialized priesthood to intervene on their behalf before God. Baptists believe that every child of God is on an equal footing, and you have, like, no better, no worse than any other member of the church family, including the pastor, direct and immediate access to your Lord, to approach to Him. Matter of fact, He invites you to come in the strongest of terms, to play the priest. And what did a priest do in the Old Testament economy? But offer sacrifice. Only there, the people had to bring the sacrifice to the priest to serve it up on their behalf. And some elements of Christianity, so-called, still operate on that model today. And so we stand apart as unique and distinct because we believe what the Scriptures teach. Then there is this one, and I'll give you this one for tonight and stop, and then we're going to unpack some labels just to prove the point, or to, not to prove it, but to make it. You have the T, okay, and we place in there two officers, just two, the pastor and the deacon. The pastor and the deacon. Where do you have that? If you look, please, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The first part of that deals with the office of a bishop, verse 1. And he gives the qualifications necessary for the bishop in verse number 2, verse number 3, verse number 4. And then the rationale is given in verse number 5. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And then there's some other things in verses 6 and 7. But then it gets to the deacons in verse 8. Two distinct, unique offices. The bishop is the overseer. Deacons are the advisors. They are not the supervisors. The deacons never comprise a board of directors in a Baptist church. It is always wrong, and people invite trouble when, as sure as they start, well, we need to consult the board for these decisions. No, you don't. You consult the Scripture. And then as a church family comes together, you make a decision, and the decision of the congregation stands. There are no board of directors, and neither is there a dictator in the person of a pastor ruling over the people in a church as though he were some kind of a tyrant. So you have biblical authority, autonomy of the local church, the priesthood of the believer, and two officers. Now, stop right there with your thought process, and let's do some labeling. Okay? Some people will say, look, Kaminsky, this ship, this Baptist ship, has sailed. It is counterproductive to communicate to the folks around you that you're a Baptist church. You got to do something with that. And so we have people springing up with worship centers, the worship center of Fifth Avenue. Or we will have names that are denominational obscured. Just want to show you where that goes. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Some of you may tonight need deodorant. I'm not saying there's anybody who does. But you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, I'm kind of a little seedy. And you're pointing, I should have thought about this before I came tonight. You're trying to keep everything down, you know, so you don't want to have flies and gnats all hovering around you and people with this thinking. And so you say, I brought my deodorant with me. I brought this deodorant. Now I got to ask you, how important is the label? How important is the label for your deodorant? Remember what I said to you this morning about going to the store, shopping for all the stuff that you need, and finding nothing on the shelves except produce without any labels on them? It makes it hard to identify what's there. There may be quality issues. There may be quantity issues. And so you load some stuff in your cart thinking, well, I brought home pork and beans, and I got corn and stuff like this, and you bring it home, and you get something else. And the only reason that happens is because there were no labels. And so here you need deodorant. Are labels important for the deodorant? Is it important that you be able to understand what the label says before You apply it. It's designed to make you smell better. And so I give you this. Will that work for your deodorant? It's called Salon Pause. You know what Salon Pause is? Whenever you got an ache in the neck or the arm or the knee, you take this baby out, presto, within 30 seconds, pain gone. Pain gone. It's not something that you want to apply under here. And the reason that that is, you're going to get a surprise if you try. And so it's very important to be able to see the label before you apply what's inside. Now, with that said, liken this all to a church. Very, very important for you to be able to label what's in the container before you apply it. So some churches, how many of you know what this is? Vibrotherapy. Huh? This is the powdered form of therapy. This stuff is supposed to firm you up. Okay? Give you a little bit of bulk. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's what a church is going to do, every church ought to be able to bulk a child of God up, put some substance to them, yes? But if there's no label on that thing, are you going to put something, are you going to take it? If this is all you see, and it's put in front of you, and you say, look, take 3 tablespoons of this with a whole glass of water, it'll do you good. And you say, well, what is it? Try it. Be surprised. Okay? Well, now that's supposed to bulk you up. This is supposed to loosen you up. Are the labels important? Huh? The labels important? So not only are the labels important, but you got to read the directions. How do we use this stuff? Do you need 1 tablespoon, 2 tablespoons, 5 tablespoons? What's going to work best? Some people say, well, the more the merrier. Guaranteed to work. It'll loosen you right up. But if there's no label and you have no idea what's inside and somebody recommends it to you and you take some, this will bulk you up. This will loosen you up. Okay? Important are labels. Are we in agreement so far? Okay? Are we in agreement? Okay, now let me bring you something here. I have three medications. They're all good. They're all very good. One is called Glipizide. And Glipizide is a diabetic medicine. Its design is to take it as prescribed by the doctor, and it drives your sugar count down to normal ranges. Okay? Take one in the morning, take one in the evening, everything should be just great. So there you have it. Absent a label, and we put this out there this way, and then we take this one here says amoxicillin. Amoxicillin is good for a soul whenever you're sick with some things. Good thing. It's right there on the label, amoxicillin. So you have a label there. And this one is advertised to drop the sugar, to make you a little less sweet. This one is to help you when you're sick to get over it a little bit quicker. Yes, and that's what it's advertised. That's what's advertised. This one here is ibuprofen. Ibuprofen. Little bottle of ibuprofen. This is an anti-inflammatory. When you take this, sparsely, as the doctor would say, when you take that, if you have a pain, an arthritic type of a pain, an inflammation problem, you take one or two of these things, and you can at least get to sleep at night. Okay? Now, all these three are churches. Can you see that out here? All three churches. They have their advertisements there. This is what we do. This takes the sugar down to normal ranges. This takes away your fever and your sickness. And this takes away your inflammation. That's what's there. And so you drive by a church or a street corner and you look at a church sign and it says, yada yada church. Meets at a certain time and you say, well, yeah, I've been looking for a church. I've been looking to go to church there. I think maybe I'll try that. And so you go in and you get a little bit of Jesus and get a little bit of God and little bit of Bible and this and that and the other thing. And you say, well, everything sounds good. Everything sounds good. They go through all the motions. Everything is churchy. And so you come back a second time. And the longer you come back, you begin to find out, you know, I should have checked the ingredients a little closer. This church here is supposed to be an anti-inflammatory. Well, the truth is, to be told, there's nothing in it. It's empty. It's empty. It's full of air. Nothing. Guilty of false advertising. Nothing there. This one here, designed to bring down the sugar, glipizide, on the other hand, is something that no doubt there's only one person in this room who would use it, and it would be the youngest one. You would use this glipizide. You're too sweet. You need to take this regularly to diminish that problem. Yes? True, and I want you to come up here, and I want you to take one of these pills. I got stuff in here now. Come on, Hein. I wouldn't give you anything bad for you. Honest, I wouldn't. I wouldn't give you bad doctrine. Come on, I got something here that you like. She's not jumping on this. All I got is a mint and some licorices, candies. And so what was inside really didn't measure up to the advertisement. So whenever you say, well, what kind of a church is this? We say it's a Baptist church. So what kind of Baptist church are you? Well, what kind of Baptist churches are there? Well, you got Southern Baptist, you got American Baptist, you got Bible Belt Baptist, you got Cold Dead Orthodox Baptist, you got Calvinistic Baptist, you got Arminian Baptist, you got Primitive Free Will Baptist, you got all kind of Baptists. You know, you got to know what's inside the container. Say, so, well, what difference does it make as long as I get to church on Sunday? What difference does it make the place they come from theologically? Does it make any difference? Then you have this one. This has got the amoxicillin in it. Some of you feeling a little bit queasy tonight. Some churches are like this. Some churches are just like this. They're full of nuts. They're full of nuts. There's no amoxicillin in there, but you know, there's some antioxidants to be sure. There's something good in pistachios. You have a big, you want some of these? Then there's this, my dear friends. No longer a mixed bag, now we're getting down to it. Look, says the skeptic, all churches are the same, except their names. All churches are the same. You can't tell one from the other. Now here we have the worship center of whatever, and you have the community church. What does that tell you? What's it tell you? But it just looks like everybody else. You have then this one. This is a Baptist church. But again, is it a Southern Baptist church? Is it an American Baptist church? What kind of Baptist church is it? Is it independent and fundamental? Is it a King James type church? Is it a Calvinist church? Is it an Arminian? What kind of Baptist church do we got here? The bottom line is that they all look the same. You have here the Methodists. You have the Presbyterians. I know I'm skipping some, but I don't mean to do that. You have the Bible churches. But they all look the same. Now, it is always wise, in light of what I'm trying to get across here, is it's always wise to be able to label what you use. It's always wise before you apply to yourself any of the things that are billed as helpful to know exactly what's in the can. Now, these all look the same, but I got to be the first in all honesty to tell you they're not the same. They're not the same. They're all tasty, though. They're all tasty. This one, for example, is called mixed grill. Mixed grill. Now, this does taste, you put this on a cracker, set it out for your guests, they'll never know what it is. You have mixed grill. And then you have all of this. You take the label off and you find out what's inside. And lo and behold, you have Supreme Supper. Huh? Supreme Supper. The finest cat cuisine anywhere in the world. And then you have here the Baptists. The Baptists. We have us a can of tuna. Now, the cats will still eat the tuna, but the humans won't eat the cat food. This is chunk-like tuna in water. Now, these all look the same until you read the label and open the can. Then you have to decide, is that really what I want? Do I really want some of this tonight? Do I want some of this? Is there any place I hurt and I want some of that? How about some of this? You can take a whole bottle of this and never feel any different because there's nothing in it. And some churches are like that. There's nothing in it. They're described in the New Testament, especially so in the book of Revelation. You have a name that you live, but you're dead. There's nothing there. Nothing there. However, for those people who are tired of the stodgy old doctrinal truths that are put there in the old time hymns, and we want something a little more peppy, we want to get away from the funeral dirges and all of that stuff, and we don't want to be wearing neckties and fancy clothes to church and stuff, we need something that is a little sweeter to the taste. And so let us find a church somewhere that will scratch our itch. Is there anything in the Bible that takes us there? In the latter days, some will depart from the faith having, what kind of ears does it say? Itching ears. And to them, it doesn't make any difference. All moral ecclesiology is the byword of the day. As long as you go somewhere, the church, doesn't matter where, doesn't make any difference what they believe, doesn't make any difference how they do church. Just get somewhere and God will bless you. I say, the corporate eye, is that you need to find a fellowship. Christian people need to find a fellowship and commit to a fellowship that is thoroughgoing biblical. And yes, we have these unique Baptist distinctives. And we can say as we look back on history that the Baptists, by and large, came to be a people more fully developed and defined somewhere in the 1600s. That would hold to each of these particular distinctives as a means to identify themselves to the people that they served. This modern generation that we have now is the first generation in church history that's gone out of its way to try to conceal what it is to attract as many people as they possibly can. And once you get in, there's nothing. And what kind of toll does it take on the poor souls who come in with different expectations? We certainly believe in individual soul liberty. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind rather than being coerced by someone outside of his own heart. No pastor has the right to coerce the conscience of any of the members of the church. It is a voluntary association that comes together by commitment, loyalty to the Lord. We believe in a saved church membership. Acts chapter 2 is very specific about that. They that gladly received His word were baptized the same day and were added to the church. There's not a halfway covenant. We do not admit people into our membership because their mom and dad may be stalwart Christians. And we do so in the hope that, well, if they're exposed enough times to the Sunday services and the Christian people, that they'll sort of like take on the same aura. We believed in a saved church membership. We believe in two ordinances, the Lord's table and baptism by immersion, as being the biblical way to teach the picture of redemption. And then we believe in the separation of church and state. We say, as we look at Romans chapter 13, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things that are God's unto God. We believe that the church and the state are separate and distinct. We do not take Israel's position of old as saying that they're one and the same. We do not believe in a theocracy, not in the church age. A theocracy comes later when Jesus comes. But right now we believe in a separation of church and state where they are co-equal, existing side by side for the mutual enrichment and encouragement of each. The church has no right to intervene in the state's affairs, and the state has no right to intervene in the church affairs. But individual Christians, my dear friend, individual Christians can, should, as citizens of a government, as citizens of a country, bring to bear their Christian testimony and their value system upon those who are elected and appointed over us. And not only are we believing in the separation of church and state, but we also believe in ecclesiastical separation. Why? Because we don't believe the churches, that we don't believe in the amorality of the churches. We don't believe that we're all the same. We believe that some, as they are currently existing and are constituted, are teaching false heretical doctrine. And they are luring people into that way of thinking and that way of living to their own peril. And so wherever we see that, we say, we cannot involve ourselves or engage ourselves with any cooperative fellowship with you. We will not do that. We have the right as a church, as an independent, autonomous church, to fellowship with anybody and everybody we see fit, as well as to make a determination that when the day comes and that is no longer profitable or blessed of God, to withdraw from it. And so, my dear friends, probably a haphazard way, just make this point. Unwrap the package before you use it. Read the labels. Check the ingredients before you take anything. And be sure, as led by the Spirit of God, that what you are about to commit to as a child of God, it is that would be blessed of God. And if not, if any doubt in your mind about that, then don't. Our dear God and our Father, I pray for your help this week as we start out again. The second day of the week is upon us. Monday is here, pretty near, and we have more work to do. And we pray for your blessing in that, for your guidance in it. God, may your protecting hand be upon every person present tonight. As they go home, as they come and go during the course of the week, keep them safe in their homes, on the road, in their places of business and appointment. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.